James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 is our text for study today. James chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 5 and read through verse 8. James writes, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Let's start with verse 5. Here the Bible says, pray for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, he says. Now that follows what he just said in verse 4, where he said, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting, that is, lacking nothing. But then he says in verse 5, if you do lack something, if you do lack wisdom, then ask God. Wisdom is one of the most important qualities of the Christian life. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And he also said this in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And wisdom, as many people have said, is different from knowledge. How is that so? Well, wisdom involves ordering the knowledge that a person has. It means being able to keep that knowledge in perspective. It means being able to gauge how important that knowledge is. There are a lot of things that people know today that are not important. And wisdom is being able to tell the difference. And of course, the Bible puts it all in perspective when it says, to fear God and to keep His commandments is the conclusion of the whole matter, and this is the duty of mankind. Wisdom also means applying the knowledge that a person has in the best and the most useful way. You see, knowledge is a matter of asking the question, is this right? But wisdom goes beyond that. Wisdom not only asks, is this the right thing to do, but is this the best thing to do in the situation? Now, for instance, in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, we find that Moses had knowledge of many situations, and Moses had many answers that he was giving to the people, because when the people had a dispute, they came to Moses. And Moses was sitting down from morning till evening, figuring out the problems that the people had and counseling the people with those problems. His father-in-law came to him and told him that what he was doing was not good. That is, it was not wise. So Moses had the answers, but he was not being wise in that situation. Wisdom also means having the self-control to say things in the most timely and the most appropriate way. Now, for instance, Jesus himself said to the disciples, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's John 16, verse 12. So knowledge is one thing, and a person may have the knowledge that another person needs, but wisdom might tell him to wait. Wisdom might say, this is not the best time, and it may not be the best circumstance or situation. And wisdom also involves having the humility to admit how little a person does know. A man can be smart without being humble, but he cannot be wise without first being humble. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when we talk about earthly knowledge, we're talking about one thing. And even when we talk about the knowledge of the Bible, to some extent, we're talking on one level. But when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about something that involves the attitude and not just the intellect of a man. James says, if you need wisdom, ask. Now, let's consider a few points about what he says here when he writes, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." In the first place, this is not a plan of salvation for alien sinners. He's not talking to alien sinners in this book. He's talking to Christian people. And so when he says, "If any of you lack wisdom," he's not talking to a man who's never been baptized. He's talking to people who have been baptized, they're members of the church, they are Christians. So this is not a plan of salvation for alien sinners. And also, this is not a means of confirming whether or not a message is a revelation from God. For instance, Mormons say that if you doubt that the Book of Mormon is inspired, then all you need to do is to ask God, and He will show you that it is. They use James 1, verse 5, to say that this is the way to show that the Book of Mormon and the Mormon religion is of God. And of course, he's not talking about confirming a religion here at all. He's certainly not saying that we're to accept a religion on the basis of what somebody has said. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to prove all things, that is, to test things. And the Bible here in James 1, verse 5, is talking to Christians about receiving wisdom, not about receiving revelation from God. Those are different matters. Now, this verse does show that God hears and answers prayers. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to see that throughout this book, he says much about praying and about how we're to pray. For instance, in James 4, verse 4, he says, "You have not because you ask not." So there are some Christians who don't receive the wisdom that they could have. They're not as wise as they could be simply because they're not asking enough. And then in James 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, something else to notice about James 1, verse 5, where the Bible says, "If you lack wisdom, ask of God." It's important to remember that he's not talking about miraculous wisdom here, like Solomon asked for and received in 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon was an inspired man. Now, that is a great story. It is a good lesson because he was humble and he did ask. But it's a different level, a different kind of wisdom. And the wisdom that he's talking about in James 1, verse 5, is not the gift of wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. That wisdom was miraculous. That wisdom came through the laying on of an apostle's hands. The wisdom that he's talking about here comes through prayer. So this is written to Christians in general in James 1, verse 5, today as well as when it was written. Now, what happens when Christians ask God for wisdom? Well, the Bible answers that God gives to all men liberally, He upbraids not, and it shall be given him. God gives liberally. That word means simply. It means openly. It means sincerely. It means generously and without reserve. God does not hold back. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 11, that if an earthly father knows how to give good things to his children, surely the heavenly Father will give good things to them that ask him. Wisdom being one of those things. So God gives openly, He gives generously, and He does not upbraid. That means to reproach. It means to revile. It means to get on to you for asking. God does not do that. Now, God does get on to us for other things. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten," Revelation 3, verse 19. But God does not get on to us for this. God does not jump onto us because we have asked Him for wisdom. So the Bible says that we have the perfect right to ask God for wisdom. He gives very generously. He is not going to get onto us and ask us why we're asking for wisdom. And the Bible says it shall be given him. And this also shows that God does answer prayer today. And it also shows that this wisdom is not just the wisdom that we get from reading the Bible. because God has already given the Bible to us. This is wisdom other than just the knowledge of the Scriptures. It is a non-miraculous wisdom that is given because we ask for it. So the Lord says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, because He is generous. He will not get on to you for asking, and it will be given to you. But there is a condition, and that condition is found in verse 6. The Bible says that condition is faith. But, He says, let him ask in faith. Jesus said to believe when you ask, Mark 11, verse 24. And when we come to God, we're to come to God in boldness, Hebrews 4, verse 16. In full assurance of faith, Hebrews 10, verse 22. So ask God for wisdom, believing that He will give it. Think about it. Why would you doubt that? Why would you think that God does not want you to have wisdom? That really doesn't make any sense, does it? So ask in faith, ask believing, and He says nothing wavering, that is, doubting, hesitating. Do you doubt that God wants to give Christians wisdom? Do you doubt that God will give it? The Bible says, don't doubt it, because a man who doubts is like a wave of the sea. He's back and forth. He's this way, and then he's that way. He's changeable. He's not steady. He's not resolved because he's not fully made up his mind. And in verse 7, the Bible says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That kind of man shouldn't expect the Lord to give him anything. Why should the Lord listen to a man who doesn't listen to God enough to believe what he says? And in verse 8, he says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This man's whole life is unstable, not just his prayer life. The Bible says that he is double-minded. Now, it's interesting that later in this book, he talks about double-minded people, and he says that some of these people that he was writing to were double-minded. In James 4, verse 8, he said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. How were they double-minded? Well, if you go back four verses to James chapter 4, verse 4, you'll read that he talks about being a friend of the world and trying to be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. Now, that's being double-minded. They tried to be friends with the world and friends with God at the same time, and he says they were double-minded for doing so. James 1, verse 8 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In everything that he does, he's not steady. And if you want to see an unstable man in the Bible, read about someone like Reuben. His own father said that he was unstable as water. Genesis 49, verse 4. Or read about King Saul in 1 Samuel chapters 10 through 31. King Saul was yes, then he was no, then he was yes again. He was a very unstable man and a very unstable leader. So let us all have a single-hearted faith, not a double mind, and then we'll be rooted and grounded in the truth and not be back and forth like a wave of the sea.